thought-provoking, and sometimes a bit controversial. Coming to you from America's beautiful Pacific Northwest, USA, the biggest, smallest podcast in the entire known universe, The Ernest Mann Show. Are you familiar with the term magical thinking? If not, then stick around, because I'm not only going to explain what it is, but how it destroys lives and what you can do about it. Hello, my name's Ernest. Welcome. If you're an adult listening to this, and I assume you are, I want to ask a question that on the surface may seem, well, silly. But I mean it seriously. Do you believe in Santa Claus or the Tooth Fairy? Serious, I'm not kidding. Do you actually believe in them? And if you don't, why? Why is it really that hopefully past a certain age, we no longer believe that? Well, one of several reasons, of course, is that as we hopefully mentally grow and mature, we can intellectually figure out that the proposition of an actual Santa Claus or the Tooth Fairy is, well, impossible. And we understand that based on all the information in the world that we gather around us as we grow up. And so you don't necessarily, past a certain age and stage, have to be concerned about being good because you're worried about what Santa Claus will or will not bring you for Christmas, because the proposition is, well, again, silly. And that's the same point that I wanted to make, and I'm going to make a huge jump here. But that's the same point concerning magical thinking, because basically what you're engaging in, even though you don't know it at that time in your life, is you're engaging in magical thinking. Then, as you grow older, those particular aspects of magical thinking, they fall to the wayside, well, as I said before, because we grow up. We're not children, at least not in that respect. Now, what I propose to you is that what happens is as we transition into, you know, adolescence and then early adulthood and for the rest of our lives, we end up replacing those two items on the magical thinking list with other items, such as the belief in God, or in the belief in extraterrestrial beings, or that the world is flat, or any other number of other things which broadly still fall under the category of magical thinking. Now, when you're a little child and you believe in Santa Claus or the Tooth Fairy or Easter Bunny or any of those things, you know, the implications in life in general and for those around you that you as a child believe those things, well, they're pretty inconsequential. You know, they're not going to, you know, heavily impact other people's lives that much. But as far as the other things that I mentioned, well, they most certainly do. And that is the problem of magical thinking. Because if you're any adult out there who hasn't spent the large majority of your life living under a rock, you, for instance, know the never-ending turmoil in the Middle East between, say, for instance, Israel and Palestine, the Palestinians. This is driven primarily. There are also many other outside factors, but primarily its foundation is magical thinking. And this ends up with thousands and tens of thousands for 20, 30, 40, 50 years or more. I'm talking about at least just since the established state of Israel, since 1948, that it goes on. It has been going on. And despite just recently a so-called ceasefire, yeah, right, let's see how long that lasts. It's not going to last because those two groups of people both engage very actively in magical thinking. They're at an impasse, and that impasse is not going to change because of magical thinking. That alone, just that example, that one example alone, should clearly explain the dangers of magical thinking. That's what it is. And anytime you happen to be someone, even if you're one of the relative few who refuse to engage in magical thinking, you can get caught up in it nonetheless, because one group of people under their government decides to bomb the shit out of the other group of people that they don't agree with, and you just happen to be living there. You know, let's say if you're either an Israeli or a Palestinian who is not in any way, shape, or form religious, and they do exist, but still, you get caught up in the quagmire of this whole nonsense because of other people who are in control and are not operating under their full faculties, yet you can get, you know, harmed or maybe even killed. And this has been repeated countless times throughout history. You know, all of the people in the Second World War, whether, you know, it was the Nazis or what have you, you know, you got to remember, although a very mass number of Germans identified with the Nazis, not all of them did. There is a very famous photo of a man whose name won't come to me at the moment, but it was, I believe it was taken at some, it may have been Nuremberg, not certain, but he circled because he was the one person in all of the group of hundreds that were around him while everybody else was doing the Nazi salute. He stood there, his arms folded. So that's what I mean by that. It is always very difficult to swim against the crowd. And oftentimes, when the crowd is into magical thinking, or you could call it delusional thinking, regardless, they're in a temporary state of insanity. And it can be very hard to stand against that. So this is what I mean by magical thinking. And in order to understand that even more fully, you would have to be a person who is, say, as myself, is happily agnostic, and you're caught up in a society that is in the throes of that kind of thinking, and you feel incredibly isolated. And you feel the pressure, and you're the fish that's swimming against all the other fish headed in that direction, the wrong direction. So hopefully, if I made that, you know, clear enough, that's what I mean by magical thinking. So yeah, many places, even in the U.S., are under the throngs, if you will, of this kind of thinking. Now, it's not all out war. They're not all out killing each other. Not yet. But it's entirely possible that that could happen. And all it takes is a spark. And when you keep building a powder keg of resentment, and then on top of that, you mix in a whole lot of economic troubles, people living, you know, with job uncertainty, in general, in no certainty. You know, you're mixing up a brew of desperation, despair, a whole mix of bad things. Then, if those same people, if you add to that ingredient list, you have them in a state of magical thinking, such as believing that you're going to hire a president, some kind of doofus, and that he's going to change everything relatively overnight and going to make everything better. That's delusional thinking. It's not going to happen. As a matter of fact, and I want to make this very clear, I am not necessarily wanting to say that a dictatorship is a good idea. But what I am saying, on the other hand, is that when you're having multiple societal crises, you know, at the same time, that I believe is what it would take to change things for the better. And I think in many people's heart of hearts, even if they don't want to admit it, that's what they want. That's what they want. They want a dictator. They want a dictator. There, I said it. Because with all of this kind of turmoil, everything that I just mentioned, it was the exact same situation in that sense of tremendous economic problems, uncertainty, people in dire economic times, and then you can't even afford food because inflation's going through the roof. All the conditions are there to just make things in this pressure cooker of crazy worse and worse by the day. And it gets so bad that people just throw in, you know, they give up reason, and they kept trying reason repeatedly with, quote unquote, getting presidents. And presidents in the U.S. are such, under the current life that we live and the times, we're not talking 250 years ago when a constitution was written and we didn't even have fucking electricity or running water or a whole host of other things. It's a very different time, of course. Well, obviously that time's long past. But regardless, this entire rule book, this entire framework, and I'm not necessarily talking about the framework of democracy, but I'm talking about the entire structure as it is, obviously is not working. When I say working, well, actually, let me clarify that. For a certain segment of the population, it's absolutely working. Meaning the rich, of course. You know the story. These guys, they seldom, if ever, they don't pay any taxes. They break the law. They get slapped on the hand. You know, and to the guys I'm talking about, or at least you should. But the rest of us, nah, not so much. So, yeah, it's not, the system is not work for us. And people keep saying, well, the system's broken. And no. It's not broken. It's not broken at all. It's working exactly the way it should. Again, for them. But for the common average person, nah, not so much. And just like at the times of the French Revolution or any other huge social uprisings that occur, yeah, that's, you know, that's pretty much, you know, the situation that it is. And that's why you have revolutions and all this nastiness, which also, I'll say, it doesn't end up, or it hasn't, let's just say for the most part, it hasn't really changed anything, because what happens is whether it's through the guillotine or whatever the case may be, even if we, you know, got rid of all the bad guys, however that's done, and you put things more to, you know, a much leveler playing field, you tried to right all the wrongs, you redistributed wealth, if the fundamental system is in place that enabled that in the first place, in a relative short amount of time, it's going to creep back in, and you're going to have the same damn thing all over again. So the way you have to get rid of that is you have to get rid of those ideas, which are backward and stupid and, well, based in magical thinking. But in the meantime, the question you might be thinking is, okay, let's storm the gates. Let's hang the bastards. Let's have a whole Bastille Day with, and have a field day and be a big, gigantic, huge bloodbath and all that. We know that. But as I said, if you don't thoroughly accept and understand what got us there in the first place, it will all eventually come back again. So that, first of all, you need to understand, you need to recognize that you need to get rid of the magical thinking. Now, maybe you can do that yourself. And that's great. That's wonderful, because it has to start somewhere. And there's no place better in the world where it should start, particularly for your own life, is it needs to start with you. That's great. But if you can't count on this, if it doesn't take off into an absolute, very broad, say, national movement, where just, you know, suddenly, like what I'm visualizing is just, you know, like... Masses of people that, you know, just become aware. You know, it's kind of like, for you people that remember the movie V for Vendetta, when on the 5th of November, all these people showed up dressed as V, and they all had the masks on and all that. That kind of thing. As far as the possibility of that happening, I don't know. I mean, maybe it could, but I'm not necessarily counting on that. I think it's going to be a much more, you know, gradual, but yet forceful shift, let's say. One of the, I believe, as I don't know, as incredible or silly as this may sound, again, since primarily it's a propaganda machine, not a truth machine, and can't believe a damn thing in our own mass media today. But when they're constantly talking about, let's say, if we just limit it to across America, those huge price spikes in fast food, but consequently all the places selling fast food that no one's going to, and say, well, they bring it back into the economy and how broke everyone is. And I'm like, look, you know, if you can't afford McDonald's, yeah, there's something really wrong. But you see, even that is disingenuous in itself, because it's not addressing what the real issue is. And the real issue, I believe, what the truth is that what many Americans, at least, have done is they're doing their own form of becoming V, and they're simply, they're, be honest, just fuck you. I'm not paying $13, $15, $20 for a Big Mac, Coke, and fries. Ain't happening. Screw yourself. And so it's an unwillingness to pay that is driving this. And I think that's great. I think that's wonderful. And I hope it continues. And I hope it spreads to so many other areas where people have been gouged for 30 plus years, everything from cars, housing, houses, clothing, you name it. I mean, we've been gouged, really bad, and people are sick of it. And I understand that. But what drives the machine, the old guard, the old thing gets it really going. What they count on is the whole magical call. They ring the bell, and it's sort of like, you know, everyone turns and drops what they're doing mentally, and they can always count on Christmas, the whole Christmas thing. And so they could eke out just long enough to make it to, let's say, you know, the beginning of December, and then they get that whole PR thing going because that's the shopping. It's the shopping season. And, you know, a million sales and this and that. And that's what they do. And that's what I've done my whole life. And I haven't participated in Christmas. Let's see. It's been over 30 years. Over 30 years. Think about that. No Christmas, nothing. No gifts, no dinners, nothing. Nothing at all. Now, just to say on a side note about that, I will readily admit, because I'm not a space alien and I don't have six heads, and grew up just like most Americans, and I engaged and did all that shit for, you know, roughly half of my life. And then when I started figuring all this stuff out, and then decided no, and I let people know, and of course at first they thought I was kind of, well, losing my mind. Again, this is where the fish starts to swim upstream. And I admit there's a very strange feeling when the masses, friends, family, all that, all of them are doing this and you're not. It's, you know, I remember for probably, shit, 3-4 seasons feeling that way. And it was weird and it was tough. And at least, but then finally by like the, I guess it was around the fourth or fifth year, I felt it, but I felt it less. And then as the story goes, as time went on, I felt it less and less. And fast forward to today, I see clearly, because I try to the best of my ability not to engage in magical thinking. And so I don't. And it's just, I recognize it exactly for what it is. And I refuse to participate. I'm not, there's nothing wrong if you like someone or you love someone and you want to give them a gift. Anytime you want to give them a gift, fine. I'm not against gift giving. I'm talking about the cult of consumerism around Christmas and everything that economically demands of you and the whole drive about that. And it's obscene and it's stupid and it's magical thinking, which, like I said, I try not to engage in. So now I think I would mention the part to you about what you can do. Now, I don't have the time in this episode to go into all the things you can do, but just a few things, and hopefully we'll get you on track so you can, as they say, unplug from this. What do I say simply? Don't engage. Just like all the people that are foregoing fast food and they're foregoing, you know, movie theaters that are charging, I don't know, they want to charge $20 and $25 for a ticket to see a fucking movie. And that's before any of the, you know, concession stand items. Just stop engaging. And you're not you. You don't have to worry about this as a movement. Just worry about you. You and maybe your immediate family. If you're married, for instance, you know, or if you have kids, this makes it, can make it so much tougher. But if you both do this, and, you know, it would kind of work much better if you both did. And, you know, and don't go into the sob thing, and then don't go into the psychological manipulation of so-called caring friends and family and grandma and grandpa. What do you mean the kids aren't going to get any toys for Christmas? What kind of animal? What, have you lost your mind? Blah, 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 blah. You have to decide, in unplugging from magical thinking, are they living your life or do you want to live your life? And in addition to that, as far as passing on traditions and values, I can't think of any better traditions and values to pass on than non-engagement. And then eventually, when they're old enough, they'll understand. They'll figure it out and they'll say, well, it felt really weird at the time, but, you know, do the right thing. They'll thank you later, kind of thing. So I can't, you know, I can't speak for, obviously, for everyone out there. And I would certainly be interested in hearing your thoughts or what you have to say. But the point is to unplug. And, you know, if you have to, like, cigarettes or whatever, if you have to withdraw gradually, that works for you. That's what will not only clear your conscience and clear your mind, but it will also save you a hell of a lot of money. So you'll have that Hollywood's holiday spirit. Ho ho ho. So I just think the whole thing is, well, it is what it is. It's a part of magical thinking, and that's simply one of the things that you need to do to move forward, is to unplug. And there's not just Christmas. There's just so many fields, so many things that you need to unplug from. And what does all this mean? Well, it means basically in time, you know, you give it some time, and especially from all the money you'll save. And there's a lot of headaches associated with this. You begin to think, well, clearly, and you begin to feel better. But it's not going to happen overnight. You know, this isn't something that you just do once and say, well, I tried that, but, you know, parents didn't like it. And my sister and brother or brother-in-law or whatever thought I was crazy. And I made up for it the next year because I have beliefs. These things and this living, it's all part. This is all an integral part of what is not sustainable. For all those groups out there, for instance, and they talk about sustainability. Well, yet they engage in Christmas. And if you look at it just from an environmental point of view, it would be absolutely staggering, almost, you know, inconceivable, just the amount of waste from all of the paper and nonsense that goes with the presents, hundreds and hundreds of tons, hundreds of millions of tons, perhaps, that won't go into the landfill. You see, it affects everything. And that, think about it, that's just one, although probably the biggest, at least in North America, but that's just one holiday. That's just one. So Anyway, I'd like to hear what your thoughts are about this. And of course, yes, I always feel guilty to ask this, but I'd appreciate it. I would if you would hit that button and subscribe and all that jazz, and it would really help the channel grow, of course. But you know, anyway, so I hope that what I told you here, as far as this is concerned, has been helpful. Anyway, until next time, this is Ernest, and that's all I've got for today.